RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from May 1948. The Diamond Killers, the 147th adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Loan dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Loan returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Loan swings his way into mystery, a specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask, his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, The Diamond Killers. Chapter 1. In the Shower's Rain. The plane from Chicago came in with a minute and a half to spare. As it circled LaGuardia Field for a landing, Morton Orth sighed with relief. The trip had been smooth and fast, comfortable, but a nervous restlessness had made the flying time drag for him. Orth couldn't remember when he had been so mentally disturbed. His car and chauffeur were waiting. He had telephoned Tim Seward, his confidential servant, the time of his arrival. Seward never made mistakes. Orth nodded to the chauffeur as he climbed in and relaxed on the rear seat. He sat moodily preoccupied during the ride that took him over the bridge and into Manhattan. Again, as had often occurred the past 2 weeks, his mind went back to the first interview he had had with Daniel Rail. Another was in prospect before many more hours elapsed, and this time Rail would have information for him, definite, conclusive information. Information that might clear up the problem that had troubled Orth over the past 30 days. He bent his head, his face shadowed as he absently watched the night lights slide by, as the car hurried along the cement strip of the highway. Some 30 minutes later, Orth reached his destination. The building before which the limousine stopped, and atop which was a penthouse apartment where he lived, was a finger of steel and stone, almost on the banks of the East River. The neighborhood was quiet and exclusive. The lobby he entered was richly elegant. Liveried hallmen prowled its aristocratic length, snapping to attention when Morton Orth's big figure went through the grill bronze entrance doors. The chauffeur followed with his luggage. Orth took the bags when he reached the door of one of the elevators.
"All right, Ed," he told the chauffeur. "Thanks. I'll have Tim call you in the morning."
"Yes, sir. Good night."
His chauffeur turned away and Orth stepped into the elevator. The operator slid the door shut, turning his head to smile.
"Nice to have you back, Mr. Orth."
"Nice to be back."
The cage went skyward, velvet quiet, like a bubble rising. Morton Orth's face was still shadowed. With every floor clicking away, the nervousness and unrest piled up within him seemed to increase. Oddly now, something else began to mingle with it, some intangible secret feeling he couldn't name, something he had never felt before in his life. Seward, who served in the combined capacity of valet, butler, and cook, had the door open before Orth could fumble his keys out of a pocket. Seward, a slightly built man with silvery gray hair and light brown eyes, reached for the bags. Orth grunted as he handed them over.
"I'll be in the sunroom, Tim," he said. "Bring me a drink. I need it."
He went down a short hall through a semi-darkened study and into the sunroom.